You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I am your host, Adam Miller, and today we're joined by Julia Jeffress Sadler. She's written a book called Pray Big Things, and you might have actually seen her on TLC's Rattled, as she is there talking about her story and her husband and her triplets. It's a great story. It's a great privilege to have her with us to talk about her book, Pray Big Things, the surprising life God has for you when you're bold enough to ask. Julia, thank you so much for being a part of the Many Voices for That One Message and being a part of our broadcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Why don't you get us started by telling us a little bit about yourself and your background? You obviously have some great pedigree and you have some really great story with your own family. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what's kind of leading into this subject of your book.
Yes, so I grew up in a pastor's family. My dad's the pastor at First Baptist Dallas. And so I had grown up in church my whole life. I accepted Christ as my Savior when I was 4. And people think it's kind of funny, but I really did have a strong walk with God in elementary school. Started my first Bible study in 5th grade, and I had the whole resume for for a Christian kid. And then in high school, I kind of struggled a little bit. Never abandon my faith or anything, but definitely just kind of normal teenage stuff. And then had a really big rededication when I was 19. And that's when God reminded me of my call to ministry. And so I grew up around church. I grew up knowing the power of prayer, hearing about it. I talk a lot in my book, Pray Big Things, about just how I kind of thought prayer was always boring, which I tried to be as honest as I could because there's tons of prayer books out there. And so I was like, what is different about mine? And I was like, well, I just need to tell the truth. Like, a lot of us know we're supposed to pray, but we don't really get excited about it, or it's not something we really look forward to. And so I talk about that and Pray Big Things, just growing up around prayer, but not really understanding why it's important for me and why it's exciting for me and how it can open incredible doors in my life.
It is interesting. You know, I grew up in a Christian family as well and was always there. My dad was a pastor, so was always there when the doors were open, which meant, you know, midweek prayer service, and it was not the highlight of my week. Now as an adult, now that I've actually have personal responsibility in my life, prayer and prayer meetings is crucial to my everyday life.
Yes, and I talk about that in Pray Big Things, just the idea of borrowed prayers, because I'm sure it's the same for you, having people in your family or in your church that have said, hey, I've prayed for you your whole life, and you grow up just kind of thinking, well, that's nice, like, thanks for doing that. But I realize there has to be a time, just like in our faith, where, you know, the famous line, God doesn't have any grandchildren. Well, the same is for prayer. You know, a lot of us have benefited from other people's prayers, but there comes a time where we have to take responsibility for that and start praying for ourselves, our lives, the people that we're responsible for, our families. And so I talk about that transition in the book of when it wasn't really that anything bad was happening in my life. I didn't have any incurable diagnosis or any real, you know, pivotal moment. I just felt, my husband and Ryan and I both felt the Holy Spirit whispering, what if? What if these verses in scripture really are for me? What if, when God says he wants to do immeasurably more than anything we can hope or imagine in Ephesians, what if that's really for me? And so there was a huge just change in our life whenever we stopped looking at the Bible as a book of suggestions, but as the only way that life will work. And it ended up changing our lives forever.
As you were putting this book together, and I'm sure as you were reading and having conversations with various people, thinking through this, did you notice that there is a kind of a collective misunderstanding about why we're supposed to pray? I think a lot of people think that we need to pray because we face circumstances, but there's much more to prayer, isn't it?
Yes. So, just putting it plainly, I get bored really easily. And I work with teenagers, and so that's good. That's good that I work with teenagers because they keep it fun and interesting. But a really neat thing about our world is that while, you know, we could be sitting there doing laundry or in math class for the teenagers or doing something we really don't want to do, there's a whole nother spectrum, a whole nother dimension which is a spiritual, of course, dimension that we get to be a part of. And it's really, it's up to us. You know, God's doing big things all around us all the time. But it's up to us if we're going to be a part of it. And prayer is what that link, well, links that, makes us realize what's going on around us that's more than what we see. And so very practically, you know, I talk and pray big things just about some of the experiences I've had, and I'm sure we'll get into this later, but, you know, praying big things is the difference between going through your whole day just looking at your phone or waiting for the next thing or, you know, getting through your to-do list versus looking up and realizing the person sitting next to you doesn't know a thing about the Lord and has been waiting for someone to tell them about Christ. And it's really a different way of living, asking God, let me be a part of what you're doing. Like, I want an exciting life. I want a purposeful life.
You know, the idea of praying continuously, always in prayer, is a reminder that we're never too far in front of what God is actually doing in our life. We think we are. We think we're kind of running on our own two feet, but prayer is a constant reminder that we are dependent upon God.
Yes, for sure. And I think also there's just kind of the idea. I was talking to one of my friends who has just gone through a really hard time, and she said, you know, the idea, we're talking about pray big things, and she goes, I've just never heard it put that way. And of course, this isn't my idea. It's all scriptural, because of course, there are big, bold prayers all throughout scripture. But for whatever reason, and she said something interesting, she said, well, Julia, I just assume God knows what I need. And so why do I need to ask? Why do I need to be specific? Hmm. And, you know, some of that's a mystery. I know you know. But some of that's a mystery of why, how, what's the connection there between asking and receiving? But whatever the connection is, the Bible's clear. There is one. There are things that we miss out on because we don't take the time to ask for them. And that's what James 4:2 says. We have not because we ask not. And of course, more goes into it than that, but we also can't explain away scripture. I mean, that's what the Bible says.
I think sometimes we think why we may not pray big things is because we feel like our prayers are rather selfish, and we're afraid to bring a lot of our own kind of desires to our prayer life. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So in Pray Big Things in the book, we talk about how this whole journey began. And it was about 4 years ago. And my husband and I had been in the same ministry with teenagers about 8 years. And I told you, nothing really wrong was going on. But we really just wanted more. And the idea we had that God gave us was, we're not going to be embarrassed to ask God for anything. And it was taken from James 4:2. And so we made a list of 20 things we were going to pray. And you could call them selfish. I guess some people could call them that. But they really were also the desires of our heart. And it's interesting because so many people think we have to come up with some real spiritual prayer, like help the people that I've never met over in, you know, who knows wherever. But we forget that God has given us our desires. I mean, unless they're like really simple or not according to his will. Our dreams do not have to be separate from what God wants for us. And prayer is the way we line that up. And so we made a list of 20 things we were going to pray until God said no or until they happened. And I'm not kidding. It was, the only rule was it had to be as specific as possible. And so we didn't tell anybody. It was just Ryan and me. And we made a list of 20 things. I'm like, this is what we're doing this year. We were trying to come up with something we're going to do in that year. And we're like, this is what we're doing. And so on that list, it was 3 children, multiples, because, I mean, this could sound selfish, I guess, but God had always, I mean, I felt like he had put that in my heart. I had always just been obsessed with twins. I thought they were so cool. And I would try to make my little sister dress up with me. I just always thought that would be really neat. And then we prayed for two book deals because I had been writing for almost 10 years at that point. And we prayed for certain people in our family to give up specific addictions. It was very, very pointed, to the point of praying for a specific neighborhood to get a house in where, and that's a whole nother story. But there were things for us, there were things for other people. And we saw every single thing happen. And we left it open. You know, we left it open. Okay, God, if this isn't what you want, if you need to change our desire. But these were things that we felt very strongly about. There were things we really wanted. We wanted our student ministry to catch a new vision for evangelism. And we had one of the neatest two-year time period of 12-year-olds witnessing in, you know, the streets of downtown Dallas, which is crazy. My answer's probably going too long. But the thing is, we don't have to separate our desires from our prayers. Unless they're sinful or we need to ask God to change those, there is nothing wrong and everything right with asking God for what we want.
Yeah, I think sometimes we get a little wishy-washy. You know, God knows our hearts, right? So when we talk mm-hmm. about the things that we want, we speak in nebulous terms as though we're talking to God, right? There's something kind of weird about that, isn't it?
Yes. And, you know, sometimes I love the axiom we used to use this in counseling. If you don't feel your way into an action, you act your way into a feeling. And so it's not like we always feel like praying. Like I don't know why I'm going to say this. I don't really like brushing my teeth, but I still have to do it. You know, I probably shouldn't have said that. But it's not like we're always going to feel it. But the more we get in the habit of it, the more it just becomes a part of our lives. And I mean, we went from where I didn't think prayer was exciting at all to where we'd be in the middle of it watching a Netflix show. And I would say, Ryan, it's right now. I don't know what's going on, but something's going on. We got to pray. We got to pray for these things right now. And I think that people kind of, because I was this way, assume that powerful praying or exciting praying is only for those like spiritual elite or the super, you know, people selling out conference centers or whatever. But the thing is that God wants us, all of us, to have a strong, powerful prayer life where we get to connect with Him. And it's a different way of living that will seriously change your life forever.
What have you learned in the process of praying that just kind of really rattled you and shook you to thinking, I've been thinking about prayer completely wrong way? What was it that kind of gave you that breakthrough?
The breakthrough was more about realizing how much I was missing out on by not taking the time. By not making prayer a huge part of my life. And so, I prayed every day. I just want to be clear. It's not that I didn't pray every day, probably for like most of my life. It's a different way of praying and actually asking God what He has for us that day, but specifically asking for those things that are on our hearts. And so the story, what ends up happening is we start praying that list. And, you know, I believe when we start praying differently, God takes notice, but so does the enemy. And so we didn't have really anything wrong going on. And one by one, we kept having miscarriages and we kept losing children. And it became so obvious. I mean, to the point that I lost our last baby when I was speaking at a women's conference on why God allows suffering. I mean, I was sitting there proclaiming God's goodness of why He allows suffering and how we can still trust Him while losing a child, literally while I was standing there. And it became such a spiritual battle that it was impossible to ignore. The first miscarriage was when I had 100 girls in my backyard for an event I call Legacy Night. And I was teaching them about how God has a purpose for them in their season, no matter what happens in the future. They have a purpose today. And so that was so surreal, but also impossible to miss that there was so much spiritual warfare going on.
You know, a lot of times I think prayer, it becomes hard and it comes with a lot of blows, like you mentioned. What do you say to people that are praying big things? They want to see God working in their life, but they constantly face discouragement.
Yes. So that's something that I want to be real clear about with this book, Pray Big Things. It is not name it and claim it. Like, oh, and then I just, you know, decided I wanted to live in a castle and it happened. Isn't that great? Like, that's not what this is. The book, I'm a therapist by trade. And so it's very specifically, the book talks about what to do with unanswered prayer, what to do with suffering, what to do with disappointments. When God says no, this is a pray big things, but also processing through those hurts. And what do we do? And how do we make seasons we never would have chosen purposeful, and ones we really wouldn't change for anything. And so I just, Pray Big Things is an exciting message, but it's a very real book about disappointments and hurts and how we can still have purpose in every season.
And of course, God gives you the desires that we're praying for, but sometimes the answers, I'm thinking of Amy Carmichael, who prayed that her eyes would be blue, but went on to be a missionary in India, where her brown eyes actually gave her an advantage to help rescue the orphans. So
that's crazy.
A lot of times we have these kind of these desires, but they're to give us perspective. Doesn't sometimes the no answer gives us a perspective on a bigger God?
Yes, for sure. So, I mean, I definitely didn't want to go into preterm labor at 22 weeks. You know, what ends up happening is we have three miscarriages, and then we find out that we're pregnant with miracle triplets. Mm-hmm. And we were just like, yes, like one for the home team. Like, you know, everyone had, I mean, not everyone, but so many people had been involved in our story. That's how TLC got interested, became interested. And so it just seemed like we were in the clear. Like, we're like, okay, we went through this time of suffering, but now we have this great story, pregnant with triplets. And then we, at 22 weeks, almost lose them. And the doctor comes in and says they're going to be born blind, deaf, with brain bleeds, or not at all, not survive at all. And I just heard God so loudly in my head saying, no, that is not what's going to happen. And even though there was that faith there, I feel like God just covered me. I laid in a bed for 50 days, hospital bed, staring out one window, just claiming scripture and begging God to protect us. And so, you know, even though sometimes we do have those desires, we all have those waiting times. And that's when, thank goodness, our faith is more than just feelings. It's true. The Bible's true. He really cares and he really is there. But all of us have times where the rubber has to meet the road for, do we really believe God is who he says he is?
In talking about praying big things, you also have to think about dreaming big things, desiring big things, because a lot of things that we want, we don't even see the potential of what we could do with what God has given to us and how we can pray in that way. So talk to us a little bit about how to kind of raise up our eyes to the hills and see what God has offered us.
Yes. So I joke about that in the book. I say, you know, I know everybody doesn't want triplets, but we prayed for three children, for multiples, and then scripture, for God to do more than anything we could hope or imagine. And that was what, I mean, we really felt God put that on our hearts. I have a friend who says, you know, God primarily speaks through scripture. So, you know, how much scripture are you giving God to work with? Because that's the primary way God speaks to us, is through his word. So it is going to be hard to be on target with what we're praying and what we're supposed to be dreaming if we're not opening the word of God. In Pray Big Things, I give the example of Joseph, the Old Testament Joseph, who God gave him his dreams as a child and as a teenager, before he's sold into slavery, before he's abandoned by his family, before he's wrongfully imprisoned. And it's such a neat picture, because I think God does that a lot in our lives. We have things. When I was in training as a therapist, they told us, you're never more yourself than when you're 3 years old. That's when you are most yourself, personality-wise. And of course, I guess that's debatable, but that's a neat idea. Those things that we really liked as children, those things that we were interested in, that were our big dreams, and we know that dreams kind of fade as you get older. Those are some things to think about if there's something you've always wanted to do. And I talk about and Pray Big Things, giving God, of course, he doesn't need our permission, but the way we prayed was, this is what I want more than anything. But if it's not going to happen, I need you to take that desire away, because I can't stay stuck on this. And I think that's a good balance. It's, this is what I want. I want three children. I want multiples, because for whatever reason, I've always liked that. And I want you to do more than anything I can imagine. But if that's not, if that's not what you have for me, take that desire away. I mean, basically, so you can move on with your life. But if it is God's will, we would pray. We'd say, if this is what you want for us, then help us to hold on to this and not get discouraged by anything the enemy throws our way.
What do you say about people who are praying for things that really are really important and praying for a child, praying for loved ones? You mentioned before praying for loved ones who are going through certain addictions. What if the answer is no to something that's that big and you can't give up? Right. You can't let go of those things.
Right. And so I want to make sure, because I realize this, we're talking about two different things also, because there's one time, in one sense, you're talking about waiting when prayers just haven't been answered yet. And so that's different. The Bible's clear. I use the parable of the persistent widow. We're supposed to be persistent. We're supposed to not give up. We're supposed to get other people praying. And so if it's something that hasn't happened yet, we are to never, never give up and continually go before the throne as long as it takes. But whenever God has specifically said no, and what we didn't want to happen has definitely happened, and we're processing through that, people are scared to go to God with their feelings. And it is vital that no matter how mad you are at God, no matter how upset you are, no matter how hurt you are, you tell him that and you go to him with that. Because when we have all of these emotions, we have all of these feelings that we harbor, but we're sitting in church and we're like, no, you're so holy, but we're really mad, that creates this, is you're just disconnected. And before you know it, you're out of church. Or maybe you're in church, but you're really not in a close walk with God. And so God is big enough to handle our feelings. And it is okay to tell him, and it is okay to ask for support. And Pray Big Things talks a lot about the balance of prayer and action. I get a lot of messages from women who want to know how can I biblically back up going to a fertility doctor? Don't I know that God creates life? And the thing is, there was nothing pro-life about me continually losing children. I mean, continually having miscarriages. And so while we do need to pray, we also need to act. If I am very, very sick, I'm going to go to the doctor. And for whatever reason, Christians have deemed fertility issues and psychological issues, this is where I see it the most, as spiritual. And while there may be a spiritual component, there's also a medical component, and we do need to get help for those things. And so while we do need to pray, if there's something that has a clear way to get help, that's something to really consider.
What would you say to anyone who's listening that just they've been praying for years, they've been struggling with things for years? What kind of encouragement do you have for them to keep going, to keep praying, and to raise up their eyes and pray big things in the hands of God?
I would say that your purpose in this world is not contingent on anything in the future. You have a purpose today. And even though your season, your struggle, whatever, may surprise you, it doesn't surprise God, and he knows what he's doing.
Some great words of encouragement and important words on the subject of prayer, which we are big about here at Songtime, the importance of praying and the importance of bringing all of our requests, all of our desires to God. We've been talking with Julia Jeffress Sadler, the author of Pray Big Things, A Surprising Life God Has for You When You're Bold Enough to Ask. Julia, thank you again for being a part of the many voices for that one message and being just an encouragement to remind us of the power of prayer.
Thank you for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7000. 7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.